Well, hello there, Do You Even Blog listeners. Welcome back to the DYEB podcast. It's the show for creators who want to make money on the internet to get more freedom in their life. And today, special guest, the CEO, Commander-in-Chief of Philippa, Blake Hutchison, is here to join me today to talk about buying and selling websites. This is of particular interest to me as I build out more blogs, niche sites, authority sites, content sites, SEO, whatever have you. I'm interested in this idea of building up a blog and selling it. Now, for all of those listening who are like, I'm not selling my thing. I like my thing. Well, two things. Number one, you never know what the future brings. So just hang in there. These are good tips anyways. And number two, we also talk about buying sites to flip, to grow and then flip and make profits and all of the above. Flippa.com is obviously where you can find Blake's company. They've been around for a super long time, right? They're probably one of the most prolific buying, selling websites, marketplaces, brokers, whatever you want to call them. I don't really know. Do you want to buy a site or you want to sell your site? Go check them out. Flippa.com. And that's all I got. Now, without further ado, I will introduce the one, the only Blake Hutchison. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. What I usually might do to kick off these podcasts is attempt to go in some sort of bio right out of the gate. But I've learned only recently that, generally speaking, the guests actually do a much better job of that. So let me tee you up here, Blake. You currently at Philippa, CEO of Philippa, but kick it off with chronological order here. Tell me about how you came to be in this business, in air quotes, blogs, buying, selling websites, flipping websites, this whole like industry. How did you get started in this?
Yeah, that's a pretty unique story. And I think our industry is unique. So I don't think you necessarily go to university or set out on a career path to help people buy and sell websites or online businesses. My career started in a publisher. Admittedly, I was on the digital side of that publisher. So it was called Lonely Planet. Still around today, Lonely Planet's an international travel guidebook publisher and still actually one of the largest travel websites in the world. And my role there was, believe it or not, to sell our digital content to portals like American Express and Expedia and Yahoo Travel that were all building out travel portals. I'm going back to 2005.
Yeah, it's a while back.
And so
in the internet world, it's a while back.
Yeah, in the internet world, it's a while back. And that was actually a really fun gig because it gave you exposure to the power of content, which is obviously critical to some of the work I do today. It gave you some sense of the value of content, like the commercial value, and how people traded content for the benefit of winning eyeballs and interest to their websites. After that, I was asked to join a startup in San Francisco, and you can hear the very thick Aussie accent, Pete. So I was in San Francisco working for a startup, and that was a really fun experience. Again, what we were trying to do was help people organize itineraries. So we were building the world's largest semantically organized trip planner technology. A bit like TripAdvisor, but on steroids, where you could take any content and organize it for the purpose of your own app or guidebook or however you wanted to use that content. Again, kind of unique insight into the power of content, how startups operated, the lean methodology, growing fast, working very hard. I then started my own business back in Australia. That took on multiple different pivots as we tried to find product market fit and ultimately grow. And after that, I joined Xero Cloud Accounting Software. So you get the point, multiple business models, multiple different pathways to get to this point. I was on the Australian leadership for Xero, which is one of the fastest growing cloud accounting software companies in the world, competing directly with QuickBooks Online. It's publicly traded, doing a very good job. And I was then asked to join an online travel company called Luxury Escapes, which sold, as you could imagine, luxury holidays. before being asked to join Flippr. So how the hell did I end up at Flippr? Well, there's a couple of things there. You know, one, Flippr's unique. It's an Australian headquartered company, but with a predominantly American user base. So it's quite unique in that regard.
Yeah.
It was bootstrapped and profitable. So I recognized a really substantial opportunity to help small business owners globally find a pathway to exit, and Flippr needed to build awareness for itself and advertise itself as being a pathway to exit for those small business owners. So that really resonated with me. I'd learned a lot about small business economics at Xero as part of that accounting software technology company, and that really resonated. I got excited about that. Interestingly enough, that business I alluded to that I had created, I also sold on Flippr. So when I was tapped on the shoulder to run the business, I obviously understood the customer base and the unique experience that a small business owner goes through when they think about selling their website or blog or SaaS business or app or what have you.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps. That's a long bio.
Okay. I was actually taking a few notes. Let's go ahead and transition into, honestly, buying and selling. And to give you a little bit more context, most of my audience are on the creator side. I've had a few people, a few friends of mine who are in the pretty strictly like flipping space. I mean, they are routinely on the hunt through Flippr and, well, I won't say your competitors' names. I think that would be rude, but there are some out there where they're constantly looking for sites to purchase and either work on for 3 to 6 months and then try and sell again or keep long term or whatnot. I have like three broad questions, but they're all a little different. Let's start with this. I'm going to start with the personal one. I'm going to be honest. Probably no one cares about this but me. So I've had people approach me in the past like 2 or 3 years to buy my site. Do you even blog? I have a couple of side projects on here. It's still like mostly what I do, so to speak. So I've been like, I'm just really not interested. But my question to you, one more piece of context. The thought in my head has always been, who would want to buy this? It is so attached to me as a personal brand. It's also not just a blog. Like, my SEO traffic is extremely low these days. I haven't blogged in 2.5 years at this point. I've done YouTube, and I've grown that to 10,000 subscribers-ish, a little lower. And the podcast, which I took a break from at some point, it was huge. And what about that? How sellable is a site if it has our faces attached to it? If it's more of a personal brand, does this affect us at all? Just give me your overall thoughts on that.
So my overall thought on that would be someone interested in your business. You know, you say a blog, I say a business, one and the same thing, is probably interested in the suite of assets that you have. So they're interested in the site, they're interested in the YouTube channel, they're interested in the podcast, they're interested in the network of assets that derive value for your user base. So that's first thing, right? Buyers are looking for where users are deriving value from your content, be it written or video or spoken form. As it relates to the question of would they buy it if it's inextricably attached to you? They would buy it if it's inextricably attached to you if you came along with it, or if they could imagine that the content was evergreen enough to derive a revenue source long term from that content that may include you, involve you, but doesn't require you long term. Because perhaps the brand, Do You Even Blog, is strong enough to take all of the content that you've historically been attached to, but then build out ongoing, utilizing the brand and less so your personality.
That's interesting. This next question will transition a little bit too. So let's say I had it in my head that I could consider selling it a year from now-ish. What are some things that I could do now in order to prepare for that exit 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years from now? You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely. In your case, multiple guest bloggers or posts, right, from other influential people in your space so that it's no longer as inextricably tied to you. So you start to diversify the content selection and who's producing that content, because buyers will ultimately want to be able to take on the operational workflows. And so for you to have operational workflows to take over, they need to be, decoupled from you.
Yeah.
That'd be piece one. Piece two would be revenue optimization. So maybe you don't have as many ad spots on Do You Even Blog as you possibly could have. It's a good opportunity if you're thinking about selling over the next year to double down on ad placements through AdSense or Mediavine or Ozoic or any other channel.
Yeah.
So as you can derive greater revenues over the next 12 months than you have historically and show a growth rate. That's a really important trend for a buyer. And then ultimately, content credibility. So buyers will look for your SEMrush or Ahrefs authority score. They'll do their analysis around the long tail keyword set that you are currently ranking for and how evergreen that keyword set is, what its historical volume looks like. And so if you can start to understand the keywords that matter to you today and invest in content around those, you're actually insulating yourself. And therefore, for a buyer, you've got something that matters, that is valuable and probably will be forever valuable. Yeah. Hopefully, that gives you some tips.
Yeah, I like that. So my second big broad question was actually taking this back to something my audience might care about a little bit more. And that is, even if they don't have a mind to sell 6, 12, 18 months from now, but they could be open to that in the future, what should they do? And you already answered a little bit of it right there, which is to kind of, don't let me put words in your mouth, but what I heard from you is be a little bit more intentional. That's not even a word. Be a little bit more intentional about the content you produce and why, and look at your revenue streams and revenue stream opportunities from the eyes of a potential buyer a year from now. What are they going to want to see? Like, what do they want to see that you have done? So those are all good things. Related to that, though, I didn't have this written down, but for those, I'll tell you what, I'll start at the newbie level first. What is a multiplier? Meaning, let's say I run a blog. I've been running it for 3 years. It's making $2,500 a month-ish from, I don't know, ads and affiliate marketing and stuff like that. What do people mean by a multiplier?
Yes, it could be a multiple of net profit, or it could be a multiple of revenue. And the reason that it could be one or the other comes down to the performance of the business and its growth profile and what you're doing with its earnings to continue to grow it. So if you are earning good money from a blog and taking all of those earnings and reinvesting in additional new content such that it doesn't run as a profitable enterprise or it's trivial in its profitability, it's more likely to be based on a revenue multiple because there's no profit to be to base that multiple on.
And by it, we're talking about selling price, just so everybody's...
We're talking about selling price, right? So just to give you a real example, and it's a fun example because you asked me about your business and you being inextricably connected to it. So I'm looking at a blog here. It's a food blog. It's based in Ohio. It's 12 years old. The person's first name is actually in the web URL address, i.e. the business name. It's called Dear, and then the person's first name. So for the purpose of the dialogue, let's call it Dear Blake. And it's a profitable lifestyle blog. And to your question about multiple, it's priced at a 4.2 times annual net profit. 4.2 times annual net profit. So when people say multiple, that's what they're alluding to. Hmm. In this particular case, it's $1 million asset, right? It's $1 million blog. And that $1 million blog is doing about $220,000 in revenue. But as I alluded to before, in this particular case, we're talking about profit. It runs at a high profit margin because most of its user-generated recipes from the community. So it's doing $260,000 in annual profit, and it's being priced at just over $1 million. So there's your 4.2 times. That's the question. That's the answer around multiple.
Okay. Is there anything... My head went to YouTube. So what do you think would be the highest driver of multiples? Well, not even that, but I guess what I'm getting at here is for the bloggers out there, and again, my audience is mostly content creators, probably less entrepreneur, web apps, a lot of freelancers or service-based businesses as well, but a lot of mostly content creators. They have digital products. How much do those factor into this? I'm assuming like a food blog, probably mostly ads, I'm guessing. I don't know.
That's right.
What about digital products? Do those generally multiple well? You know what I mean?
Yeah, particularly if they're fast growing and particularly if they've got a really, really big established community that has demonstrated loyalty. So the multiple question is a really challenging one because there's so many factors. Generally speaking, an older, more consistently run, but business with big revenue optimization opportunity will get the highest multiple. Okay. So let's just talk through that a little bit. Someone who has a one-year-old blog is less likely to get as high a multiple as a 12-year-old blog with the same number of users. And the reason being is buyers respect and appreciate the consistency, the predictability in the performance of that blog. Mm-hmm. So that was piece one. Piece two relates to its revenue and net profit performance. So if you are running AdSense or Ezoic or Mediavine, AdSense, obviously the Google product, Ezoic and Mediavine, other either ad or affiliate based networks that you can tap into, if you are consistently earning the same amount or approximately the same amount every month, and you've been doing that for a long period of time, buyers will pay for that performance, right? So they pay for performance, and now here's the kicker. They'll give you a multiple uplift if they can see opportunity. They pay for performance, but they look for opportunity. So I have an aged website which has consistency. I now have evidence of consistency of revenue performance. So I've now got the buyer on the hook. Then the buyer says, gee, I can see that this business isn't particularly well optimized for a bunch of keywords which it could rank really well for. I could see that it's a crappy design. I could see that they don't have video content for their recipes. I could see that they don't have a YouTube channel, to your point. Now I'm going to give them a little multiple kicker because I believe that I can actually accelerate the revenue generation of this blog. And all of that is going to come into the multiple. And then the other factor, which is a big unknown, is buyer competition. So you can have something which should be traded at a 5 times net profit multiple, and all of a sudden it's getting 7, 8, or 9 times because there's multiple buyers pushing the value of that asset up.
So feel free to self-promote Flippa all day long in this next question. But where can people get an estimate, right? Like, what's the first step when people are like, ooh, I want to do this 3, 6, 9, 12 months from now, whatever it may be. Like, who do I talk to? Do I email somebody? Do I get a free account on Flippa and like upload a site? Like, what are those steps?
Yep. So Flippa has the world's largest database of historical sales. And so as a result, we've been able to build what we call the intelligent valuations engine. And for all of you out there who own a house, it's a little bit analogous to Zillow's Zestimate, right? You can find out how much your house or your apartment is worth. Similar, Flippa has a tool. So you can get that at flippa.com/online-business-valuation. But better just go to flippa.com and you'll see valuation tool, top right valuation tool. You can find out within 5 minutes, based on our historical sales data, what your blog is worth. We'll ask you about the traffic. We'll ask you about the revenue. We'll ask you about the age. We'll ask you about the consistency of that traffic, how that traffic is derived, whether you're paying for it or whether you're getting it organically through Google. And based on a number of different factors, we will give you a valuation. You can have that in maximum 5 minutes. It's an indicative valuation. It doesn't take into consideration buyer competitiveness. So think about that. Mm-hmm. But that's the best place to get started. The other thing you can do is go and look at blogs that are similar to yours on Flippr. So go to Flippr search, behave like a buyer, pretend you're a buyer. Go to Flippr search, sort by blogs, sort by age, sort by revenue, and you will get an indication of how how sellers are pricing their assets and how buyers are currently perceiving those assets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this? How about a little bit more tactical prep work? I was actually thinking analytics, Google Analytics. Most everybody probably already has that to some degree. Yeah. But if they don't, it's going to be hard probably to sell a site, period, without any historical data or whatnot.
Correct.
What else is in that boat? Like just besides Google Analytics, maybe. Is there anything people need to do? Accounting? Zero? Go sign up for...
Yeah, zero is a good tip. I mean, generally speaking, if you don't have your financials in order, buyers are not interested. So what that means is go and get a bookkeeper, go and get an accountant and get them to start to organize your data. As you just said, perhaps use cloud accounting software, QuickBooks Online, FreshBooks, Xero. Now, if you're doing a couple of $100 in revenue a month, you don't necessarily need to do that, right? You just connect to your source. So we'll connect you to AdSense. You just literally go on, connect AdSense, connect Google Analytics when you list your business on Flippr, and we'll pull down that data for you and we'll expose that. But if you're selling, you know, a legitimate small business that you're expecting someone to pay in excess of $50,000 to, maybe, you know, we sold a $5.2 million blog last week, right? So maybe as high as $5 or $10 million, then you absolutely need to have your financials in order. And Flippr will insist that you have a profit and loss statement so you can reconcile your revenue and your expenses, and we will verify that with you before you can sell it. That's a really critical piece.
Okay.
The second thing is, as you said, Google Analytics. So connect it. If you've got other revenue sources, so perhaps you've got AdSense, but maybe you're also running sponsored links. Maybe you've got an ad sales team and they're selling. You need to have that mapped out, right? What is the percentage breakdown of your revenue across different revenue sources? Once your financials are in order, it comes down to operational. So how do you actually create content? You have to be able to articulate that. Hmm. Are you paying contributors? How much are you paying them? You have to be able to articulate that. Are those contributors willing to work for the next owner? You should know that ahead of time because buyers will say, you've got five key contributors. They're writing most of your content. They're clearly your all-stars. I want to make sure that when I take over your business because I'm paying $100,000 for it, those contributors are still there for me to leverage. Yeah. So that hopefully helps.
Yeah, I think so. Let's transition onto niche sites specifically. By niche sites, I just mean 100% content sites, authority sites, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. I've always been intrigued by the idea of buying a small site, meaning not paying $50,000 or $100,000, but paying like between 3,000 and 10 or maybe like 15 for a site. I was actually just looking a couple of days ago. There were some that were like 7 months old and it's got like this particular one had like 230 articles out there. I was like, wait a minute, 7 months, 230 articles? Is it AI? Like what's going on? but neither here nor there. What, from a buyer's perspective, right? Like I know those people are listening to this podcast too. What tips would you give them on how to get, honestly, quite frankly, a good deal? You know what I mean? Like, what are some of the things they should be looking for as they're, I was going to say, flipping through Flippa, browsing through Flippa? Yeah. What are some of those key data points they should be looking for to see if this is actually going to be opportunistic or yada, yada?
Yep. So for a small blog, you know, try not to pay more than 3x multiple. And definitely don't buy a site that is not revenue generating, because you're just going to have to do all the work yourself. You might as well start one from scratch. The whole benefit of buying is you get to acquire cash flow. And so understand its cash flow. There's multiple ways and quite inexpensive ways you can create content today. So that particular one that you have alluded to there, yeah, they'll be doing what you could have done yourself. They'll be going to Fiverr Pro or Upwork. They'll be signing up multiple contributors, and they'll be getting a bunch of content delivered to them. If I had $10,000 to spend, I'd be buying a site that is generating $5,000 net profit, and I'd pay two times for it. I'd also be looking for something with strong audience dependency in the market where you currently reside.
Okay, could you explain that?
Yeah.
You're going to anyway.
If I am buying a site about, let's say, I don't know why this is in my head, but let's say keto diets, okay? So I'm buying a site about keto diets. There's recipes, there's advice, there's reasons why keto exists, all of that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that that traffic, let's say I'm based in the US, I want to make sure that the vast majority of that traffic is in the US. And the reason being is I'll tend to understand the type of content to be produced easier. I'll tend to write for my audience a bit better. If I am a content contributor, I'm going to find them. Better than that, I'll get a higher revenue per page view in a market like the US or the UK than I will in other markets, because advertisers can afford to pay more. Mm-hmm. Businesses tend to be bigger. And so what that means is that if you see a site, and it's not to say that they're bad, they're not bad at all, but if you see a site that you are looking at from the US as an American buyer and the vast amount of traffic is in Southeast Asia, you're less likely to understand the cultural sensitivities of that particular market. You're less likely to get the content right accordingly. In addition to that, the revenue per page view in a market like Southeast Asia happens to be lower. It's just a fact. Happens to be lower than the revenue per page view you'll get in the US and UK. So go and look at the content makeup and the audience makeup of a website before you go and spend your $15,000.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
I think probably the only other factor that I would consider if I was spending that amount of money, call it $10,000 or $15,000, is the content evergreen? Has SEM Rush told you that it's sitting in the top 1 to 5 placements? Go and look at the competitive set and understand whether you think that they're actually a pretty aggressive content creator and you're going up against someone who's actually quite aggressive and they're gaining ground, or whether you've actually got a really nice foothold from that keyword standpoint as a potential buyer, because you don't want to be buying something which is on the way down.
Smart. Sorry, I was like trying to take notes and my mouse stopped working. I'm like, oh, cool. Like now I can't even like hang up the call with Blake. Like this is going to be weird. All good tips. I was going to ask something and my mouse totally derailed my brain here. Anyways, I like that. Lots to think about. Did we miss anything? I'm trying to think. That's pretty much all I had written down. I feel like there's some pretty good tips in there.
So blogging's hot, right? It's an asset class. Buyers want blogs. And what all of your blogging community probably already knows, but let's just ensure they do, is that it used to be people who understood content would buy blogs. It now is people who understand user acquisition buy blogs. So that's to say that someone who owns an e-commerce business is now looking for blogs to acquire. Someone who owns a SaaS business is now looking for blogs to acquire, because growth marketing is hard. Brand is hard. If you can acquire content and the users that consume that content in a niche that is relevant to your business that is not a blog, you just found the fastest possible path to user acquisition. And so blogs are very much in demand.
Mm. I like that. This reminds me, this may or may not be what's actually happening, but I'll say it anyways. I was producing a little bit of content myself on Jasper.ai and ContentBot and Writer, and there's a few others in the long-form content AI writing assistant space. And I kept encountering these sites that are pretty clearly created just for this, just for these new AI tools that have been popping up with GPT-3 yeah. over the past year or two. And now that I'm sitting here, thought that was actually the first thing that popped in my head when you mentioned that. I could imagine them selling these sites to some, I don't know, AI writing assistant tool who has the tool but needs to be pointing people through it. And the more content creators like myself, like Googling Jasper.ai tutorial and reviews and boss mode and all this other stuff, that seems like it would be a smart play.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of opportunities to blog about fast-growing companies or trends. So have you ever heard of Roblox?
No. Oh, so, wait. Yes, it's a video game, right?
Yeah, so Roblox is a platform for developers to create games from which a major global community then buys and uses those games. And it's predominantly kids, right? So kids are creating games on top of the Roblox platform, and other kids are then playing those games that their friends have created. And it's enormous. It's a NASDAQ-listed company. It's whatever, market cap of couple of billion dollars. I don't know the exact number. And it's probably been punished on the public markets over the last 6 weeks. But point being is that there's a bunch of people who are building big content communities and sites around the Roblox platform. How you build your first game, how you optimize the game.
Yeah.
Here's some code that you can use to get a fast start. Here's some music that you can attach to your game so that you can continue to build that game. So the best bloggers are those who are kind of following big trends and continue to communicate content that helps those communities leverage those trends. Hmm. And they then have huge amounts of value because the community themselves is fast growing and that community is looking for as much assistance as possible.
Hmm. I like that. Now that you mention that, well, if my mouse was working, I would. I was going to pull up my little black book of website ideas, right, that most creators have. I got a full list now of like 15 to 20 that I've like whittled down over the past year or so.
Yeah.
I'm going to go analyze those through the lens of like, some of these are kind of trending. Some of these are kind of new and or hot and fast growing. And some of them aren't. But.
And you want something that's a long-lasting trend too, right? So we saw this massive influx of blogs about COVID numbers, right? Like everyone created a blog about COVID numbers because they thought, oh my God, I can win customers really quickly and I can earn revenue and I can quickly sell it on Flippr. And you're like, well, the pandemic's not a forever thing. So they are short-lived by nature. But a lasting trend or community or technology that you can imagine having 5 and 10 year life cycles around it, they're fantastic to build content around.
Hmm. That's a great tip. Well, Blake, let me let you go. I gotta let you get back to work. You're actually in your office for those who can't see you right now. Or me, I'm like winding down. Like I need a glass of whiskey because my kids went to bed. I need to go to bed. But I was going to ask, like, where can people find you? But obviously flippr.com. is where they should go.
Do you guys
Do you guys still send out the newsletter with like, site alerts and new stuff?
Yeah, you can do one of two things. So you can go to flippr.com and sign up for the daily. Just look for the daily tab at the top of flippr.com. And we'll just send you curated deals. So you've got 3 deals each day. And it's a good way to just kind of start to immerse yourself. You don't have to buy, you just browse, right? Yeah. That's piece one. Piece two, you can actually create alerts. So go to search. Type in blog, put 2 years old, 3 years old, type in traffic, hit create alert, and we will start sending you blogs alert. And that's a great way to go about it. We encourage that sellers do that, actually, because they then learn what other sellers are doing that are similar to them.
I like that. I assume you can also filter that down by, like, niche topic as well?
Yeah.
or type.
You can do by niche. You can do by SEMrush domain authority. You can do by traffic. You can do by revenue. Any number of different filters.
I love it. Oh, hey, my mouse is working. I was like,
yes.
Flipit.com. Oh, wait, I managed to get there. Good for me. Blake, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate your insights here. I hope to see you again selling a site in the near future. So
yeah, hopefully, Pete. Well, thank you so much for your time.
All righty, my friends. I hope you enjoyed that lovely chat with Blake. Hope you got some cool ideas in there for potentially buying a site in the future, another niche site perhaps, or, you know, an exit strategy one day in the future. Not that you're going to do it right now. Yada, yada. All right. Thank you to Blake for coming on the show. Thank you, Do You Even Blog listeners, just for being awesome. That's all I got for you. I hope you have a lovely day in your blog and business. Pete at doyouevenblog.com. Feel free to email me anything you might have or find me on Twitter at, that's right, you guessed it, doyouevenblog.com. I love you guys. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you later. Adios.